previously on 24.
Call the cabinet in for emergency session. Tell General White we are ramping up.
Congratulations, Thomas. An excellent plan.
It's about time someone in this administration
stood up to these people.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President.
The American Muslim community is our best line of defense against these terrorists. Your plan would only hinder the efforts of law enforcement to stop Fayed.
I remain convinced
that implementing this plan would be a terrible mistake.
15 minutes ago, the NSA picked up a conversation between McCarthy and Fayed. McCarthy's found another engineer to arm the four remaining nukes.
Oh my God, it's Morris.
Morris, it's a setup. The engineer McCarthy's looking for, it's you.
Get out of the car or the next one's in your head.
We're on our way.
We'll be waiting.
With my money.
You get paid as soon as I have what I want.
I'm just delivering him.
You'll have to make him cooperate.
How do I find McCarthy? 4 cc's.
His vitals are spiking across the line.
4 cc's! Don't. There's nothing to do with McCarthy. It's to Palmer.
David Palmer.
I gave the order for his assassination.
Not only was he responsible for David Palmer's assassination,
he directed the entire conspiracy. He was trying to protect my father's company.
Dad.
Told him about Palmer.
Yeah, I had to give him something to make him think I cracked, but I kept you out of it. Dad, stick to the plan.
Sometimes you have to make adjustments.
My son's had a seizure!
If you people killed my son, you're gonna regret it for the rest of your life.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
I'm Carlo Rota, and I play a gentleman by the name of Morris O'Brien on this wonderful television show.
And I am Evan Katz, one of the executive producers, and we'll be doing your commentary today.
Yeah, it's a very exciting hour on the show, I believe.
I'm trying. The server's not responding.
It's because you're not resyncing the coordinates correctly.
Oh, there's my title. Yes.
That's kind of the best part.
Confirm this with a field team.
So I think I've already been kidnapped at this point, have I not?
You were kidnapped at the end of the last episode.
Yes.
This is the section of every episode where we, in scenes, try to catch the audience up as best as possible.
We just got word from the field team at your brother's house. Graham's dead, Jack.
Ideally by, instead of just baldly doing exposition, informing a character who doesn't already know something. Sometimes we get stuck in situations where everybody knows everything and we have to construct these scenes where people are repeating things and it sometimes can be dicey.
We're already en route to CTU, man.
Bill, I'd really appreciate it if you'd be the one to break the news to her.
Of course, Jack.
Sir.
Stand by.
Chloe's starting to screw up. She's worried about Morris. I think she's losing it.
Chloe, have you accessed the uplink yet?
I think in conception, one of the cores of this episode was Chloe's concern for Morris. And whenever we can create a dynamic like that with a character or characters we care about, it's always good, objectively good.
Jack, I've had to relieve Chloe. She's too distraught to function. You're on.
I believe this is, you know, what we call kind of an old school 24. You know, one of our people are kidnapped. You've got your torture. You've got your shock elements. And you've got your satellite surveillance.
Which is key. without satellite surveillance, the show, what would the show have? I mean, we wouldn't be able to see anything. We'd be blind, flying blind.
We met with some people from the NSA the other day, and they're like, we really wish our satellites worked like yours.
Really?
Including the ability to go back in time, you sort of TiVo it.
Where are we taking him?
Fire the call scene. Just relax. Drive.
Feel free that if ever you feel like buying me a present, to buy me this car.
This car?
Yeah.
Was nice.
It was quite lovely.
You enjoyed being handcuffed in the back seat.
The handcuffs really sold me, yeah.
I remember when we were writing this, who drove and who held the gun on you was very difficult, because as people will see going on in the episode,
we're handing him over to fire.
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
You might as well get paid for it.
Not me.
You didn't say they know about you. And anyway, I'll take care of you like always.
I really enjoyed working with these two lovely people. Mrs. Kreider particularly was really, really into her part.
You know, much like in, I guess, the original Star Trek, they always had to come up with explanations why they couldn't just beam people out of trouble with the transporter. And now that we've been so good with our satellites work so well, we have to come up with ways that you can't follow someone on satellite.
Right.
And in this case, this was driving under the freeway. Was this the West Valley, Carlo?
Yeah.
We're always very indistinct in our geography in L.A., so we can excuse some of the quick transit. This was, I remember, in its conception, a car chase. We always deride them when we write, but they always turn out viscerally, you know, very satisfying. I think this is the biggest one we had done this year, certainly.
Turn there!
I really got to applaud the way the editing seamlessly puts, because obviously we were not in the car when that chase was being filmed, and it just really fantastic.
It's invisible. And of course that section of highway is nowhere near. The other thing I think that makes this a bit of a classic 24 is there's some pretty surprising and violent twists, the first of which is coming up.
Fayed, the man you're taking me to, is the terrorist who set off the nuclear bomb in Valencia. He has four more bombs, but he needs me to make them work so that he can kill tens of thousands of innocent people. And all you have to do to stop that from happening is to uncuff me. McCarthy's right.
You were particularly good in this, Carlo.
That's awfully nice of you to say that.
You know, this scene does a couple things. It gives you a chance to express your internal state. It catches the audience up on what they need you for. It reveals that she actually didn't know all of things which the audience needs to know. And I believe this was really Kiefer.
Yes. Yeah, I remember seeing this, actually. I was very impressed.
And this was a first shot at the car chase was too ambitious, so I trimmed it back. And then Kassar said, but why don't we have him land on a helicopter on the top of a truck? I was like, hey, okay.
Can I get my luggage?
Forget about the luggage. Come on.
I think that was an ad lib.
You did not tell me this is about nuclear bombs.
What this is about $7 million. Now get in the truck.
And this is always great when you can get inside the characters' heads and at least think you know what they're thinking.
Right.
Without words. Good Sean Callery score.
Does a great job. It really does a great job.
Yeah.
Pressman, they dumped the car. They must have switched vehicles.
From the underpass, they could have merged directly onto any one of six local roads or highways. There's just no way of tracking them without knowing exactly what vehicle they're in.
Damn it, Milo, they could be anywhere. Just find them and get back to me. Head south.
Yeah, when you see the show without the score and then with the score, it always comes up a notch or two.
Hello.
I have a new place for us to meet. I is certainly not being followed.
Yeah.
What's the address?
4332 Florence Avenue, apartment 621.
You got my money?
Yes.
Okay. Turn on the GPS.
It was important for her to know what the address was.
Right.
And we originally had him just write the address down on a pad, but this is a little more natural. A little Sergio Leone going here.
Yeah.
Stairs.
Good. It's not too far.
One of my favorite moments in this episode.
Yeah, just really good.
I mean, I hope people didn't see it coming. You know, you're trying to get the audience to ask one question. Yes.
Thank God. A bit excessive, but you did the right thing.
Shut up! Fayed, wants you alive. In whatever shape you're in beyond that, is up to you.
Oh, come on. What are you doing?
I am making $7 million. And I can spend it without having to worry about CTU. Like you said, they don't even know I exist.
Yeah, there's a definite look of concern.
Yes.
Listen. I know you think I'm wrong. And that I blindsided you by not backing your proposals.
Really enjoyed Peter McNichol's performance this year.
Tom, I have always valued your counsel.
Really transformed a character we saw one way, which was sort of almost a Spock-like, dispassionate person. And he just, he's doing so much without feeling acty. It's anguish and internal and gears spinning.
Yeah, you can absolutely feel his weight of decision when you see his performances.
Chad Lowe as well, I thought, was really, really good in the show.
Mr. Lennon? Everything's okay. We're fine in here. Thank you.
You know, weak, but passionate.
Just rejected every one of my proposals right there in front of the cabinet. Not only has he changed his mind on the internment plan, he is rolling back on the detention facilities that are already in place.
I thought he was on board.
Well, so did I. No, he's putting forth his own agenda to try and appease the Muslim population.
Hoping that they're going to cooperate and help find the nuclear weapons?
That's it. And all he will succeed in doing is to prove to the terrorists that he does not have the stomach to do what is necessary and inevitable.
Okay.
This earlier part of the season, we were having a dialogue about
my influence.
Tom Lennox's sort of right-wing approach and Wayne Palmer's opposite approach. And I thought we did a pretty good job of not favoring one over the other.
Sir, that would be a terrible mistake.
My mistake was to believe that Wayne Palmer has the courage and the vision to fill this office. Clearly, I overestimated.
I think there's been a really good job of them both counterbalancing each other in that sense.
You know, we try not to supply easy answers, except that Jack's pretty much always right.
But yeah,
well, that's almost always right.
This country is being led to slaughter by the man who is. No. I cannot, in good conscience, be party to this. I can't.
Sir, this is a terrible mistake.
I cannot talk about this any further. Go now and draft my letter of resignation and bring it back to me now for me to sign.
I don't think Peter McNichol was ever this hot, you know, in terms of his passion in any of the other episodes.
This was a really good scene. Yeah,
totally believable.
Very good scene.
Yeah, it's Reed. Palmer just shot down the Lennox plant in the cabinet meeting. He's rejecting every one of the initiatives. Did you hear what I said?
This is opening a window into another storyline right here where
I realize it's extreme, but under the circumstances,
doing something we usually do, which is who is this guy? We don't necessarily know. We don't necessarily need to know. We're like, uh-oh.
When? As soon as I write his letter of resignation. Carson, if he goes, I lose my job and I lose my access.
Our plan is contingent on your proximity to the president.
Make us wonder what the plan is.
I am very well aware of that. But Tom Lennox is determined to quit.
He might reconsider if he knew it was coming.
I suppose I could feel him out.
Then do it. Carefully.
We have to protect ourselves.
Yeah, this episode had the benefit of a couple of, you know, really nice storylines. Was not a lot of downtime.
Without knowing what vehicle McCarthy switched into, it's going to take hours to scan through all these frame grabs.
We're staying on it right now. That's all we've got. Mrs. Bauer.
Yes.
I'm Bill Buchanan, Director of Operations. You must be Josh. May I speak with you a moment, privately?
Never a good sign.
Okay. What is it?
I'm very sorry to have to tell you this. Your husband is dead.
How?
He appears to have suffered a heart attack.
James Morrison's always so solid.
Yeah, he's authority personified.
I was accompanying Graham's body here for an autopsy, unless you have an objection.
I liked the. You know, she didn't love the husband. She's not devastated.
Right.
It's subtle.
Yeah.
And it's unexpected. It's not another weepy scene of someone being told something.
Your mother wants to speak with you.
And as you'll see, rather than have the information repeated on screen and having to watch a kid fall apart, which none of us were looking forward to, we placed it half off, half on, and you get some of the emotional impact.
It's Jack. Let me speak to Buchanan.
Hold on. Sir, Jack's on the line.
Jack.
Bill, we found McCarthy's body less than 3 blocks away from the interchange. We intercepted a call from LAPD. The witness said the shooter was a female, drove off with a male fitting Morris's description in a silver pickup.
Did the witness get a license plate?
No. But McCarthy received a call just about 5 minutes ago. Caller ID is blocked. I need to trace the source of the call.
You think the call came from Fayed?
Originally, I think the call came in to a payphone under the highway instead of the cell phone, and realized no one uses payphones.
They don't, I know. Well, unless they're entirely suspicious.
What do you want?
I'm Darren McCarthy's associate. I've got your package.
There was great debate as to whether or not she was stupid for going in without a plan, so I believe we ADR'd a line where she has a bluff that was not done on camera. And I'll ID it for you.
Who are you? Where's McCarthy?
He's waiting to hear from me. If he doesn't get the money.
Right there.
Oh, I see. Right, right.
Look, this... I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a data analyst. You've got the wrong man.
I'm also your twin brother.
Donnie's actually a very sweet man.
Very sweet.
Soft-spoken.
What you want. Just give me the money and I'll go.
You'll get your money when this man completes his task.
I love doing femme fatales.
So you know I have 4 nuclear suitcase bombs in my possession.
Carl, how was doing this scene?
You know, I have to say that one of the great things about having Donnie there and Missy in my eye line was that they really informed me in this scene. Like, I really did feel
threatened
and entirely vulnerable, and with very little to. I had very little to you know,
say,
either to say or to do to stop what was going to happen.
Yeah, I think we had never really put someone at CTU in a position like this. That was interesting, because everyone caves, apparently, in real life. Everyone eventually caves. And, you know, we are getting sick of torturing people on screen, so even as awful as this is going to be, not as much of it is on screen as you would think.
You got a lot of flack, I think, the torture scene coming up, did it not?
I think that just means it affected people. Yeah. But, you know, it was bad guys torturing someone, not the good guys.
What's your status?
All I've got is that the call was made from a landline. The number was routed to at least a dozen different servers, and they keep cycling back on each other. Come on.
Are you going to be able to do this?
Milo. Let me try.
I think in the first incarnation, I believe... this was a separate storyline of Milo finding the number, and I think third draft or so he realized, oh wait, this is a great thing for Chloe. Instead of just wheeling her off screen and being, you know, falling apart, we can give her something to rise to. But I could be wrong. This is many scripts ago at this point we record this.
That's it. McCarthy's call is made from an apartment building, 4332 Florence Avenue.
You copy that, Jack?
Yeah, do we know which apartment?
No, there's no way to tell. They tapped directly into the building's trunk line.
Our men are ready to move. Have tactical meet us over there. Tell them to set up a perimeter. Stay out of sight.
It's excellent, this episode. I actually am getting goosebumps watching it. it really flows really well. It's really quite... it's really just keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Well, there's nothing like having one of our... you know, characters truly in jeopardy. I mean, we could kill Morris here, you know, I mean, we've done it.
Yeah.
So it makes you really concerned. Did you ever work with Alexander?
No, I talked to him a few times. He seemed like a really interesting fellow.
Yeah, really lovely guy. We saw him in Syriana, I believe.
Yeah, he's another fellow with a fantastic screen presence.
Yeah.
And you would never guess how wonderfully soft-spoken and...
Yeah, gentle.
Yeah. ...serious about wanting this
negotiated peace. On my own terms, yes.
Let's table your terms for the time being while we discuss mine. My country, sir, has suffered a nuclear attack by the very same terrorists who used to follow you. Thousands of innocent Americans are dead or dying as we speak.
I am aware of the tragedy in California, Mr. President. I was there.
Then you understand.
I believe we got him to Washington very quickly. I think he's off screen and I'm not sure it's 4 or 5, but he gets to Washington, you know, from Los Angeles pretty quickly, and I think we told ourselves military jet.
Yeah. Well, there's always has to be a bit of a time element in travel on 24, right?
Right.
We're talking about war.
You don't have to tell me what is at stake, but I still don't understand what you want from me.
I would like you to appear on television and make a public address to the world, declare your intentions for peace, an appeal to members.
I think this is also a case where the Alex's casting made a what on paper would be a really hateful character. I think just by force of persona, you're interested in him.
Absolutely, and I thought it was a really great choice to have a known terrorist to decide to
cooperate.
There is even a suspicion that I am an American puppet.
Not a puppet, a partner.
But, you know, it was almost hard to make him unlikable on screen.
Yeah.
Because he's charismatic. Like you, Carlo.
Well, that's awfully nice, Evan, for you to say that. But, you know,
it's like charisma with hair.
I made a lifelong study of bad guys.
Yeah.
I've played so many of them. And I always think that, you know, the ones that are likable are the ones that stand out.
Yes, it's very easy to be hateful.
Your perimeter. It's in place. We've got agents in plain clothes covering the exits to the building. We have three TAC teams in position to move in on your command.
Do you have confirmation the fire is in the building?
Not directly, but the building manager ID'd Morris O'Brien entering the building with a woman less than 20 minutes ago. We assume the woman is the driver your witness saw shoot McCarthy. There are no cameras in the building. We don't know what apartment.
Fantastic building, by the way.
Yeah. Well, L.A. is not so great on its keeping its own history intact, and that, I think, is a genuinely old building.
The penthouse of that building was...
Is it on 6th Street or 3rd Street?
Yeah, on 6th, I believe.
Jack, you copy?
Yes, Jack, go ahead.
I'm in the staging area. We have confirmation that Morris is inside the building. We do not have confirmation on Fayed. There are no cameras in the building. Do you have infrared satellite?
We can't get a live feed, but we have a satellite position uploading images at 5-minute intervals.
Latest scan shows 215 people...
We had to make it a 5-minute interval to protect Fayed's escape at the end. If they could really see everything all the time, there would have been no way for Fayed to get away. So that's
right, of course.
Chloe, it's good to have you back. I need you to get into their system and trigger an all-building fire alarm.
Okay, we just have to get past their login screens.
Let me know when you're ready.
Now, the initial idea was to actually start a fire in the building, just literally light the building on fire and force Fayed out. But it was actually a bad idea, and it evolved into the fire alarm. Here you go, buddy. Tell us, talk to us.
Well, I'm so glad that John Cassar was directing this show. He loves torture scenes, apparently. He's also a bit of a gentle soul, but he just loves these scenes. And they had a double for me. But I just thought, well, you know, I could probably be better if I did it myself. And the drowning aspect was interesting because I had them hold me down for as long as I could take it, and I would just breathe in a bit of water and then spew it out when I came out of the kitchen.
So you were slightly distressed. Oh, here comes the drill.
The dreaded drill. Drill bit O'Brien.
You know, sometimes I think the scariest tortures are not with obscure instruments, but something you could find in your own home.
Or in your own Home Depot.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I was giving her that day. Definitely giving her. I'm hurt. It's plain and simple.
Yeah.
I'm hurt. I remember seeing you in the parking lot a month or so before this episode shot, and you had still not decided what implement you were going to use. A knife, a screwdriver.
I think a knife was in there on point, right? Well, you got upgraded to a power tool. Oh, I particularly thought John did a great job with what's coming up.
I don't care about the money.
You have to watch this thing that happens to her. This is right at the end of the evening. There's no time left.
You give up the $7 million?
Yes.
Okay.
That squib was not supposed to explode like that over her hair.
Oh, really?
And that was genuine.
Well, she held it together.
It was great.
Now, here's one of my favorite little shots when he looks at her, and I think there's a cartridge casing next to her head. Maybe I missed it.
Stop!
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, do it.
You know, there's a lot of discussion as to what exactly makes you break. How do you sell that one point where it's forgivable for the character to say, okay, without living.
You know, anywhere. People have come up to me on the street and have just, without even introducing themselves, I said, I think you caved too quickly.
Well, they say everyone caves, but I thought having someone shot to death in front of you and then the face staring right at you, that was a good way to do it without just relentlessly seeing more and more and more pain applied.
Right. Well, I also figured that, you know, in the choice of telling him I'd do it, that he was going to inflict incredible pain on me and probably then do it to somebody else. I was going to get killed. Nothing was going to get fixed.
Right.
And I could probably buy at least some time by going along with the plan.
Right, and I believe you do try to stall, right?
I tried to stall, and I didn't, as we discover in a bit, I'm not aware that the bombs are actually on site.
Right, that was you think this is less dangerous than it becomes.
Right, so I figure if I do this for him, it's not going to matter to anyone for a good, you know, in 24 time, at least 20 minutes. Security.
Oh.
This is interesting.
Excuse me, sir? Hey, who are these like-minded people we're talking about?
And I, you know, you don't know. You can't put yourself in the audience's head, but you're supposed to not be entirely sure how Tom Lennox is going to react to this.
Occupying the Oval Office.
Wait.
You know, he's so mad in the prior scene.
Of action, I hardly think it warrants his removal.
I'm not talking about holding hearings. Something more immediate would have to happen.
These two were really, really good together.
Oh, my God. Possibly be intimating what I think you are.
I'm not intimating anything. I'm just simply musing.
Careful. That kind of musing gets you thrown into prison for treason.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, that you've misunderstood me.
We needed to do a couple things here. We needed to protect Tom Lennox so that when he calls up later in the show and says, okay, I'm interested, you could later reconstruct that he said no, thought about it, said I better find out who's behind this plot and agree to go on with it.
You need to keep a safe distance away from the building. Move across the street for your own safety.
Yep, there's the bird.
Anything from your men on the ground?
This was my first experience shooting on location in Los Angeles as well.
Really?
Yeah. It was very exciting for me.
Location's fun, particularly when it's not a disgusting warehouse like we so often do.
Okay, there's three people left in the apartments on the second, fourth, and sixth floors.
We need to narrow that down. Chloe, who's renting those apartments?
Superimposing building department schematics and cross-referencing with...
I really did feel like an actor in Los Angeles.
It's exciting. I remember the first time I went on location on something I'd written, I was just so excited. Then you get bored.
It's occupied by single males,
as the writer, anyway.
Several times for distribution of narcotics.
Fayed wouldn't use anyone with a criminal record to set up a safe house. Our hostels are in the sixth floor apartment. Get your men ready. Moving in.
As a little piece of business that makes it little, not quite less so easy. He makes Jack smart and deductive.
I don't know.
McCarthy said this is a few minutes' work for an advanced programmer. You're stalling for time.
I am not. It'll be ready in a minute.
Most everybody seems to have evacuated the building. Which is how they intend to find us. At this point, it's only a question of time.
What were you telling yourself here, Carla?
Well, basically, what I was saying is that, you know, I knew that help was on the way. I mean, I knew that that was going to... I knew that we were being tracked. I knew that help was on the way, and I thought, well, without making it look like I'm stalling, I needed to prolong this as long as possible.
It's done.
But again, I had no idea that the bombs were on site.
I think at one point in the script, or one of the scripts, we had him re-threaten you.
You have the bombs here.
Just one. Let's see if you did your work correctly.
It's now it's a whole new ballgame for
him. Right, because, you know, now not only can they arm the bomb, but, I mean, on top of that, if I had stalled, I mean, if I had tricked them, they'd know it.
Right, right.
Very good.
This is also a nice setup for your character, because this guilt, self-recrimination really played out for another six episodes. Ten.
Excellent.
Where were you for that?
I was not there for the actual explosion.
I certainly hope not.
But we simulated the explosion.
Right.
People threw all kinds of things at me. You know, rubber things, bits of masonry, mortar.
Are the gunfights boring to shoot?
They're so exciting to shoot.
Yeah, okay, good. They're fun to watch.
Anything with a gun firing immediately elevates the mood. It puts you straight into the place that you're supposed to be at.
John is particularly expert at shooting these things. You know, sometimes we poo-poo this in the writer's room. You know, oh, it's a gunfight. But, you know, as long as you don't do too much, it's exciting.
It really is exciting. I mean, you know, without telling you the exact thing that's going to occur, but yeah, yesterday we were shooting stuff with guns. It's as exciting as all get out. It is. It ups the ante.
And here's why. There had to be a 5-minute delay on the infrared.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be tracking them straight out.
Mr. Bauer, you need to see this.
Yes, I think a lot of people asked, didn't get that.
Oh, well.
There's so much that happens in these episodes. Sometimes it's
right,
easy to lose one crucial bit of information that explains, oh, that's a nasty-looking bathtub.
Yes, that's particularly good. Was this a set, or was this...
This was a set, yeah. A very dusty set.
CT, this is Bauer. We got a problem.
And this was the first time also in this episode that I actually worked with Kiefer. I didn't spend much time with him on set. And this was the first time that
you really had
I got to
together.
See him in action. And
he's so intense.
Well, you know, that's the other thing, too. Gunfire and Kiefer.
Right, you had the whole smorgasbord. It was interesting. We've seen, you know, in film and TV, many bombs diffused. And for the longest time, I had the red wire, blue wire thing in here, which we've seen a billion times until we figured out something through, I think, John and the production designer and Randy, a prop master, something just a little bit different than the countdown digital timer. You know, this corkscrew thing sort of physicalizes it in a different way.
Now, as writers, do you go and actually look at...
Yes.
How bombs are made?
Oh, real bombs? We'll glance. Like, for instance, we got the dimensions and specs on suitcase bombs. But that was kind of, you know, I think the tube is mounted diagonally. But that's about it.
And does this bomb actually exist in the world?
The Soviets did manufacture nuclear suitcase bombs, quite a few of them. But they were theoretically decommissioned. But
that's very interesting, isn't it?
But they I believe, might have been a little bigger and a little heavier, but, you know, pretty much.
Well, if they said they were decommissioned, then obviously they were.
Well, that is, of course, everyone's fear that some of the Soviet arsenal will fall into terrorist hands, which, of course, is what happened this year.
Okay, I have an updated schematic. It wasn't switches 3 and 4. You need to push 4 and 5 to the down position, and the cover will open.
Are you sure this time?
I'm about as sure as I'm going to be before this bomb goes off.
a good Mary Lynn delivery.
Fantastic. And I also like that there is an element. There's no one that really knows for sure.
Yeah,
I
mean, yes. And, you know, we, 4 episodes ago, had really blown off a nuclear bomb, so party is wondering, are they going to do this? Kiefer's so good. So focused, so committed.
It's done. The bomb is disarmed.
And, you know, it's one thing if you have to do this kind of thing once or twice a month.
Right.
To do it every day.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, it's... Oh, here you go. Can't even look him in the eye, right?
I couldn't look at him.
And with it, he can activate the other bombs he has anytime he wants.
You gave him something that worked.
He wasn't too pleased.
No. But, I mean, this is something when I wrote it, I didn't think of you not looking him in the eye. And I mean, it's so interesting. It's so great to see him on his feet and have the actors take it up that next several levels.
Yes, sir.
It's funny. Now this perversely becomes your story, the failure of it, you know. Now it's really you. Look at that face. Yes, we spared ourselves another phone call, sir, by having this flash email.
They let Fayed slip through their fingers. Again.
Apparently he now has the capability to arm these remaining suitcase nukes. This situation is immeasurably worse.
I have to say that I have never been more thrilled by a script when I got this script.
I think I told you like a few weeks before, I said, we got something good coming for you. Because we hadn't, you know, you hadn't been the focus up till now.
No, it was absolutely thrilling. It was my birthday.
As long as your birthday involved
A drill in the back.
And I would like to discuss this.
So I think we've camouflaged Tom Lennox's turn here well. You think he's reacting to the news about the nuke, but in fact, we'll find out in later episodes that's not the case.
Right. He's great. He's so good.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That went pretty quickly.